Welcome to the Minor League Radio Podcast, your source for what to think. From politics to pro wrestling, pop culture to progressive metal, confusing rhetoric, chronic masturbation, religion, rashes in inconvenient places, and of course the gold standard in pornography criticism. Gather around now your digital player of choice and enjoy the musings of your perpetually confused host. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Gardner.
I bid you greetings, noble citizens. It is I, Jim Gardner, at the helm of the Minor League Radio Juggernaut once again. Thank you for listening. And if you like what you hear, spread the word, man. Because every time another person listens to this podcast, another underprivileged English waif gets free dental work. Thank you. So we have fighters crashing into apartment buildings, Mormonism going under the microscope, and in the feel-good story of the year so far, Keith Olbermann gets shit-canned. Awesome. Last time I actually had to cut some stories because there was just too much awesomeness for a half an hour, so I'm going to save my exposition on how Russian MILF porn is enhanced by the use of mushrooms for another time. Let's jump right in.
A perfect compliment for dental work. Or having a boil land.
My penis? My buttocks?
The Minor League Radio Podcast.
Still, probably the top story in the country. It has the country riveted. Yes, I said riveted. Developments in the Trayvon Martin shooting have George Zimmerman being charged with second-degree murder. He appeared in court yesterday. This from Fox News. Neighborhood Watch volunteer George Zimmerman, who is facing second-degree murder charges in the death of an unarmed black teen, appeared Thursday in front of a Florida judge, where he was told that his formal arraignment will take place on May 29th. Zimmerman was at the brief procedural appearance with his attorney, Mark O'Mara, and said, "Yes, sir," when asked by the judge if O'Mara is his lawyer. Florida's special prosecutor announced Wednesday that she concluded that the claims of self-defense were not supported in the shooting death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. Special Prosecutor Angela Corey's announcement marked a turning point in the high-profile case as weeks of outrage and speculation about Zimmerman's motives culminated in his arrest, something that Martin's family and their supporters have argued for since the February 26th shooting in a gated community in Sanford, Florida. "He's facing second-degree murder charges now," O'Mara said at a press conference after the hearing. "He's frightened. That would frighten any of us." O'Mara said he's not taking attorney fees at the moment, and Zimmerman does not have the money to pay. Zimmerman is being held in protective custody, he said. He also said he hopes to have his client eventually released on bond and then have a place for him to be safe. 28-year-old Zimmerman was booked Wednesday evening in the Seminole County Jail, and he could face a minimum of 25 years in prison or a maximum of life if convicted. In announcing the arrest, Corey would not discuss how she reconciled the conflicting accounts of what happened or explain how she arrived at the charges, saying too much information had been made public already. Geez, you think? But she made it clear that she was not influenced by the uproar over the past 6 weeks. Of course you weren't. She is quoted as saying, "We do not prosecute by public pressure or by petition. We prosecute based on the facts on any given case, as well as the laws of the state of Florida." I certainly hope that's true. A second-degree murder charge in Florida is typically charged when there is a fight or other confrontation that results in death and where there is no premeditated plan to kill someone. Meanwhile, Martin's parents said charges against Zimmerman in the killing of their son would start the healing process, but they won't stop fighting until the shooter is convicted. What if he's innocent, though? They're quoted as saying, "We just wanted an arrest, and we got it." That's Martin's mother, Sabrina Fulton. "The question I would really like to ask him is, if he could look into Trayvon's eyes and see how innocent he was, would he have then pulled the trigger? Or would he have just let him go on his way home?" Father Tracy Martin said. The shooting brought outspoken demands from black leaders for Zimmerman's arrest and set off a furious nationwide debate over race and self-defense that reached all the way to the White House. Martin was black, Zimmerman's father is white, and his mother is Hispanic. One of the biggest hurdles to Zimmerman's arrest over the past month was Florida's Stand Your Ground law, which gives people wide leniency to use deadly force without having to retreat in the face of danger. The lack of an arrest had sparked outrage and rallies for justice in the Orlando suburb across the country. Many legal experts had expected the prosecutor to opt for the lesser charge of manslaughter, which usually carries 15 years behind bars, and covers reckless or negligent killings rather than second-degree murder, which involves a killing that results from a depraved disregard for human life. I tend to agree with this. I don't think that's smart, going with second-degree murder. The most severe homicide charge, first-degree murder, is subject to the death penalty in Florida and requires premeditation, something that all sides agreed was not present in this case. To recap, the confrontation took place in a gated community where Martin was staying with his father and his father's fiancée. In phone calls, Zimmerman told an emergency dispatcher that Martin looked suspicious, and he followed the teen despite the dispatcher's advice. Zimmerman's father said that Martin threatened to kill his son and that Zimmerman suffered a broken nose. A video taken about 40 minutes after the shooting said that Zimmerman arrived at the Sanford police station, showed him walking unassisted and without difficulty. There were no plainly visible bandages or blood on his clothing, but Zimmerman may have had a small wound on the back of his head. This is what I'm talking about, though. We just need to relax. Let the authorities do their thing, and things will happen. Now let's just continue to relax and let the legal process do its work. I think Zimmerman is pretty much fucked, although the prosecution might be aiming a bit too high by charging him with second-degree murder rather than manslaughter, but that's just me. Not a legal expert, this guy. Remember, we don't know the whole story, and in a civilized society, we let the rule of law rule. We don't take to the streets calling for Whitey's head, or tweet the address of people we don't like, or call for blood. We just let the law rule.
Check out the Minor League Radio Podcast on iTunes.
The Minor League Radio Podcast continues. Rick Santorum is out. It looks like Obama versus Romney in 15 rounds of throwdown this November. GOP presidential candidate Rick Santorum, after defying long odds to become a top contender for the nomination, said Tuesday he is suspending his campaign, in effect paving the way for frontrunner Mitt Romney to challenge President Obama. Santorum's announcement came as a surprise, though his campaign faced an increasingly unlikely path to the nomination in recent weeks. The former Pennsylvania senator, also on Friday, left the campaign trail for the second time to tend to his 3-year-old daughter, Isabella, because she was hospitalized with pneumonia. She has a life-threatening genetic disorder known as trisomy 18. Santorum, far behind in the delegate race, has been outspent at every turn by the well-funded and better-organized Romney campaign. You know, Santorum is too socially conservative for me. I agree with a lot of his stances morally, but I don't believe that we need to impose this morality on the culture. There are just too many people who don't believe as we do. But his campaign should be a lesson to everyone. If you bust your ass, you can succeed beyond what anybody expects. No one gave Santorum a snowflake's chance in hell of getting anywhere in the presidential field. He had no money, no organization, and he got his ass kicked in the last election he was in. But Santorum put his boots on the ground and worked harder with less than almost anyone else in the field, and he outlasted everybody but Romney. He's a man to be admired. And while I think that the issues like abortion and gay marriage are best left for the arena of hearts and minds, I'm glad to have Santorum's voice in the fray.
The Minor League Radio Podcast.
Well, the world is heating up, and I'm not just speaking metaphorically. It is literally heating up. This from CNN. March 2012 will go down as the warmest March in the United States since record-keeping began in 1895, NOAA said on Monday. In addition, the 3-month period of January, February, and March was the warmest first quarter ever recorded in the lower 48 states. The average was 42 degrees Fahrenheit, a whopping 6 degrees above the long-term average. A staggering 15,292 warm temperature records were broken. That's 7,755 record highs and 7,517 record high overnight lows. That's according to Chris Vaccaro, spokesman for NOAA. That's tremendously excessive. The scope and the scale of warmth was really unprecedented, Vaccaro said. A persistent weather pattern during the month of March led to 25 states east of the Rockies having their warmest March on record, NOAA said. That same pattern was responsible for cooler-than-average conditions in the West Coast states of Washington, Oregon, and California, they said. The warm temperatures also contributed to conditions that were favorable for severe thunderstorms and tornadoes. There were 223 preliminary tornado reports during March, a month that averages 80 tornadoes, according to NOAA's Storm Prediction Center. The majority of these tornadoes occurred during a severe weather outbreak across the Ohio River Valley and southeast in early March. The outbreak caused 40 deaths and total losses of $1.5 billion, making it the first billion-dollar disaster of 2012. Short-term weather patterns, such as the one that affected the United States, are poor indicators of global climate trends, however. Parts of the world, most notably Eastern Europe, experienced below-average to extreme cold temperatures this winter. Now, I have always made clear that I come at the news from a conservative viewpoint, but one of the ways I kind of stray from conservative orthodoxy is when it comes to environmental issues. I actually have a bit of a green streak going through me. It's not like I'm walking hand in hand with most of the neo-hippie activists out there, but I have never understood why making the environment one of the major issues politicians, and more importantly, we as citizens, need to address is considered quote-unquote liberal. We all have to live on this planet, and husbanding our resources well should be one of our biggest priorities. Conservatives tell you that many of the green initiatives proposed by the left are job killers. And that could be, but more than once I've seen like Sean Hannity equate our right to drive an SUV with our right to free speech, and that's bullshit, my friends. I am the biggest proponent of freedom on the planet, but sometimes we have to curtail our freedom and or our comfort for the greater good. For example, I'm a free man in America. I could run out into the street right now, drop trow, and have at myself for all to see. But I don't, because I consider my personal freedom with a view toward the greater good. It's a win-win, really. No one sees me pull the route, and I don't get arrested.
Walk out the door, get in the car, go home, jerk off, and that's all you're gonna do.
In the very same way, we can all sacrifice a bit to make sure that we live in a sustainable way, and I think that's the key word, sustainable. Let's face it, if you poked a stick in the ground and oil bubbled up, and we discovered that the whole planet was filled with just oil, there was no caves, there's no, there's no core, no crystalline caves 1,000 feet down, just oil. You poke it in, oil, and it's just a hollow where a ball of oil with a little crust on it. Even then, we would eventually run out. We have to accept that fact, just like the left has to accept the fact that there isn't enough money for the government to do all the things that they want it to do. We need to start changing our thinking on this, folks. We consume way too much, and I'm just as guilty of it, if not more so, than anybody. Is global warming a real thing? Most scientists seem to think so, but there's enough credible dissent on the issue that I'm not going to take to the streets saying, "The day after tomorrow was right, man. Dennis Quaid's a genius." That said, the weather's making me nervous. Just a little.
Want to have Jim's babies?
Well, I'll give this little cookie an hour before we're doing the no pants dance.
Send him an email at jim@minorleagueradio.com.
Keith Olbermann. Fired. I'm smiling right now. From the Christian Science Monitor. Once again, Keith Olbermann is looking for a job. It's the second time in little more than a year that the often volatile and bombastic left-wing cable news broadcaster has left his post under tumultuous circumstances. This time from Current TV, the network co-founded by former Vice President Al Gore. Olbermann joined Current TV as the, quote, chief news officer and host of his show Countdown, reportedly with a 5-year, $50 million contract. But there soon developed hitches in the show and tension with network management, according to various reports. During the primary election season, he declined to host certain hours of election coverage and has missed a number of regular broadcasts, as well as complaining about technical problems he said undermined his show. In a statement, Gore and Current TV co-founder Joel Hyatt said the network was, quote, founded on the values of respect, openness, collegiality, I don't even know what that means, and loyalty to our viewers. Unfortunately, these values are no longer reflected in our relationship with Keith Olbermann, and we have ended it. In a statement posted online, Olbermann countered that, quote, the claims against me implied in Current statement are untrue and will be proved so in the legal actions I will be filing against them presently. He said he had been attempting, quote, for more than a year to resolve his differences with Gore and Hyatt internally. Quote, while I have not been publicizing my complaints, instead of investing in a quality news program, he said his bosses thought it was more economical to try to get out of my contract. He called his decision to join Current, quote, a sincere and well-intentioned gesture on my part, but in retrospect, a foolish one. Before joining Current TV, Olbermann spent 8 years at MSNBC, where he remained a controversial figure. He feuded loudly with conservative Fox News host Bill O'Reilly, who he frequently awarded his Worst Person in the World label. The New York Times called it perhaps the fiercest media feud of the decade. On occasion, Olbermann apologized for statements he acknowledged were, quote, over the top. Most infamously, his description of then-U.S. Senate candidate Scott Brown as an irresponsible, homophobic, racist, reactionary, ex-nude model, teabagging, supporter of violence against women and against politicians with whom he disagrees. Even comedian Jon Stewart, who rarely holds himself back, found it startling. Quote, the harshest description of anyone I've ever heard uttered on MSNBC, and that's saying something for that network. Just before the 2010 midterm elections, Olbermann was suspended without pay for several days when MSNBC executives learned he had donated $2,400 each to three Democratic candidates for Congress. Keith Olbermann is a gifted thinker, an amazing talent, and a powerful communicator, Mr. Gore said when announcing Olbermann's move to current last year. In a world where there are fewer and fewer opportunities to hear truly distinct, unfettered voices on television, we are delighted to provide Keith with the independent platform and freedom that Current can and does uniquely offer. Olbermann's strident voice may remain unfettered, but for now at least he no longer has the independent platform to stir up and entertain his left-leaning fandom. He's being replaced by former New York governor and prostitute aficionado Elliot Spitzer, also an alumnus of MSNBC. Spitzer's show is called Viewpoint. Here's Olbermann on Letterman.
I didn't say, you know, if you buy a $10 million chandelier, you should have a house to put it in. Mm-hmm. Just walking around with a $10 million chandelier isn't going to do anybody a lot of good.
No.
And it's not going to do any good to the chandelier.
Right.
And then it turned out we didn't have a lot to put the house in, to put the chandelier in, or a building permit. And I should have known that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is my fault at heart.
You're the chandelier?
I'm the...
So yeah, he's comparing himself to a $10 million chandelier. Keith Olbermann is, in fact, a blowhardy, uninformed hack who is so far ensconced in the liberal bubble that he cannot tell his head from his ass. And after all these years, it turns out he's the worst person in the world. Who knew? Well, this guy.
The Minor League Radio Podcast. Currently trending on Twitter.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
#awful.
Well, the 2012 Rock and Roll Hall of Shame announced its inductees. And once again, I'm pissed. I don't even know how long ago they inducted or announced these inductees, because I don't really follow them. But here you go. You got the Beastie Boys. You've got Donovan. You've got Guns N' Roses. You've got Laura Nyro. I don't even know who the fuck that is. Chili Peppers and the Faces, not to mention the Comets. And the Blue Caps, and even a few other more obscure names. Okay, so the Faces, Donovan, fine. But the Beastie Boys and the Chili Peppers before acts like Rush and Judas Priest? And once again, I ask you, who the fuck is Laura Nyro? No Deep Purple? These people are retarded. And I'm not saying that to be provocative. I mean, literally, they have to be developmentally disabled. Every time I think of the morons at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think of a group of rabid monkeys throwing poo at each other. Now, Guns N' Roses absolutely deserves to be inducted, but not before Deep Purple. People are applauding Axl Rose for declining to attend and asking not to be inducted, but that's just him being a paranoid, unforgiving asshole rather than him thumbing his nose at the hall. These idiots didn't induct the fucking Beatles until their third year of existence. It would have been my first pick. It took them 10 years to induct Led Zeppelin. The Talking Heads are in the hall, but not Rush. And who the fuck are the Blue Caps anyway? Who the fuck are the Comets? Although it was pointed out to me that the Comets could be Bill Haley and the Comets. Bill Haley is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Why would you not induct his band at the same time? Morons. Why is Kiss not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Rock and roll has always been about rebellion and creative adventure that anyone could take part in. But the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has turned into the same political, sterile, elitist, corporate bullshit mongers. They are the very antithesis of what rock and roll is all about.
The Minor League Radio Podcast. A half hour you'll never get back.
All right, on to some goofy shit now as the Minor League Radio Podcast continues. A woman caught smoking in a non-smoking area of Denver International Airport on Tuesday responded by putting out her cigarette and taking off her clothes. At around 8:45 a.m., after being asked to extinguish her cigarette, the woman stripped naked in the B concourse, this according to TMZ. Quote, the woman told officers that she'd had no sleep the night before, unquote. That's according to Raquel Lopez, spokesperson for the Denver Police Department. She told that to MSNBC.com. The woman was taken in for a medical evaluation. No one was arrested, no one was hurt, and no report was filed, Lopez said. Police and paramedics responded and, quote, the woman was ultimately transported to a local hospital, said Laura Cole, Denver International's Director of Media Relations. There are four smoking lounges at the airport, including two Aviators Club smoking lounge locations, but there is no clothing optional area, Cole said, nor are there plans to create one anytime soon. Personally, I think the whole country should be clothing optional. And in more nudity news, a maid service in Texas is offering something a little more than just a clean house. Nude maids. Fantasy Maid Service of Lubbock bills itself as offering, quote, nude or topless maid service. It charges $100 an hour for one maid and $150 for two. We also do parties. It recommends hiring at least two maids for that. It also prominently crows about offering discounts for police. Ask about our law enforcement discount. Which is probably a good thing because, as the Associated Press reported, police in Lubbock are keeping close tabs on the business. Police Sergeant Jonathan Stewart told the AP that Fantasy Maid Service does not have a permit to operate a sexually oriented business in the staunchly conservative city and could get a $2,000 fine for any violations. Fantasy Maid Service takes great pains on its website to make it clear that it is not a sexually oriented business. Quote, do not attempt to solicit a maid for sexual services, the website says, in all caps, so that you can't miss it.
Well, baby, me so horny. Me so horny. Me love you long time. You panic?
Further down, it also exhorts customers to remain clothed, unless you are a nudist. Ultimately, I don't see a problem with this. This is, I've seen interviews with this lady, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say that she doesn't have, like, an engineering degree, because if she did, she'd probably be engineering. So she is using what tools are available to her, along with her own ingenuity, to get ahead in life. It's not, people should be free to do this kind of thing. If you don't like maid or nude maid service, then don't order a new maid. It's just that simple. People should be free to do as they please. And on that happy note, we will close the book on another Minor League Radio podcast. Check out the website at minorleagueradio.com and leave a comment if you're so inclined. You can also email me. That's jim@minorleagueradio.com. The podcast is available on iTunes. You can subscribe there. Spread the word. If you like the podcast, tell a friend. And if you hate it, tell an enemy. Until next time, au revoir.